Hi there, my name is Heather Chitrangolo. I created Systemic Renewal, and I firmly believe that no one and no situation is ever too far gone.
Well, welcome back everyone to Never Too Far Gone. This is Heather Chitrangolo. I am really excited today to be recording the final of the six-part series called Following Favor. So today is really about drawing that series to a close. Whether you've been listening to all of it or some of it or none of it at all, we have been reflecting on the theme of how we get the right people on the bus and the wrong people off the bus. This phrase comes from the work that Jim Collins did in his book Good to Great. And the series is called Following Favor because in the practice of systemic renewal, this is a term that we use, which is one of the key principles that sits within our methodology. And it's about starting with how we discern who the right people are to work with, especially in the first instance as we begin to gather a team around a particular systemic issue. So discerning who to work with and discerning where there is already favor in the sphere of influence that we have is a key skill in terms of starting where there's already malleability and commitment. So today I want to press in as I wind this up to the slightly darker side, I guess, to this conversation. We've been focusing a lot on thinking through who the right people are, in a sense. Today, I want to talk about why I put this picture of a shiny red apple on the front cover of the series. So I put this picture of an apple on the artwork for the series because I was thinking about what it's like to be offered something shiny and red and appealing like this apple. What is it like to be offered something that looks good, but then when we bite into it, we discover that it's making us sick. We discover that it is, in fact, a poisoned apple. I wonder if you've ever worked with or stepped into a relationship of trust with the wrong person. I think we all have, haven't we, at some point in our lives. I certainly have, many times. And I've also worked with people who weren't necessarily strictly the wrong person, but I've worked with people who were the right person for some things, but the wrong person for the role that I gave them. Or I've given someone too much authority or too much autonomy or too much leadership anointing, if you like, too quickly, and learned later to regret it. There is, in a sense, a truth in these simple fairy tale stories that we grew up with that inspired this picture. For me, it was the story of Snow White, this powerful image that we get in that story of a woman offering a red apple, offering something that is presented to be tasty and delightful and shiny and healthy and ripe, and all along her intention is to poison. It's a powerful image because it really is symbolic of exactly what can happen to us in life. There are good apples and there are bad apples, even though all of us are in fact a mix of good and bad, right? We're complex. We're not one thing or another. And unlike in cartoons and fairy tales, we're not just good or bad. We don't fit into one of those categories. However, in the work of leading change and discerning who to work with and where to start, there absolutely are good apples to bite into and bad ones that we're better off not even tasting. And there are good and bad offers. And so I wanted to create some space for you today to think about your experience of this and even your own discernment right now about who to work with, where to put your time and energy, and where to start. Some people really are poison to an organization, either because they are dishonest people or abusive or toxic people, and that can be the case, or it may not be as dark as that. It may simply be that they really just aren't in the right place. They really aren't in the right role for them, and they're therefore not very happy people, and their presence makes everyone else's life difficult. I was working with a team in consulting once, and this was exactly a scenario that they were faced with, a basically nice guy who had a lot of nice qualities and who in many ways was very loved, was someone who had this kind of degrading, dampening, weakening, depressing presence, because the tone that was being set was described like this to me by this team. They said, "We actually feel like we have to keep the bar low." And I had to kind of really sit with them about that, about what it feels like when we are trying to accommodate another person's low bar, whatever the reasons are for their low bar, all the time, and how it sort of damages morale. So what I've also learned in my personal relationships, in which I've made some great choices, but I've also made a number of really bad choices, to be honest with you, I've found that many of the same principles apply in business or in work relationships, actually, that if we were to think of our hearts or our homes, the space in our lives as kind of territory, the same as our workplaces, and that within these spaces, these houses, these territories, whether it's inside of us or a space that we sit within, when someone takes up space in that environment who isn't the right fit, or who doesn't really love you, or who just is a dangerous person, the greatest injustice and the most missed opportunity that happens when we allow this to continue isn't only the heartache that might result, or the poor work standards that might result, or the destruction to group morale. The greatest injustice that I think I've learned over time is that really the longer you keep that person in that space, taking up room, taking up energy, time, resources, and occupying that position, you are effectively depriving the right person of being in that place. Because we can only put so many people in our lives and in our work. And to deprive the right person of being there is a deep injustice and a profound waste of resources. And what I've learned is that the right person always exists. It's why we use the phrase following favor. Because favor, as in the right person, the person who is favorable to you, who understands your heart, who shares your cause, who shares your passion, those people always exist. The only question is whether you're attracting them into your life, whether you're making space for them in your life, and whether you're identifying them correctly. But they are always in the wings. So before I get into, in a little bit more detail, what Jim Collins' study has shown about getting the wrong people off the bus, and also my own experience of biting into a seemingly very nice apple, only to discover that it wasn't so pleasant, is to just recap on what we've been reflecting on throughout this series in terms of how we make these choices. So we started with the topic, who are your people? And we thought about three C's that we can use to kind of identify the right person to work with. And that was character, competence, and commitment. Character being the ability to admit when we're wrong, the ability to change our minds, to be sorry. Competence, apart from having the right skills and the right training, is really about the ability to keep turning up on a hard day and to push through difficulties and challenges. And the commitment level was the ability to get back in the ring after taking a hit, a kind of quality of endurance and even loyalty. We then had a podcast called We Don't Need Another Hero, and we looked at Jim Collins' principle that we don't need a hero, we need 3 to 12 heroes who work well together rather than one hero with 1,000 helpers. And then we kind of bounced off that into looking at how group work can be either painful and pointless or really constructive and exciting and fun, and that when group work works well. It's happening because we have those kind of leaders that aren't a hero with a thousand helpers, but have in fact a profound degree of vulnerability, an ability to be humble, an ability to participate in the group process even as they're leading. We then had a couple of interviews. So I interviewed Brooklyn White, and she talked about how she, like renewalists are, was drawn to the macro level of change and how this journey can be really lonely. So connecting with other people who have that shared passion, who have that wiring, connecting with other renewalists is really important. And Alicia O'Dowd was the next interview. She works in healthcare, comes from a nursing background, and she shared about her own experience of discovering that it's okay for your purpose to change, and it's okay for the purpose of the system you're in to change, and allowing that to happen is part of attracting the right people in. So today, to bring all of this together and hopefully tie it up in a nice red bow, I want to share what I've learned and what Jim Collins' research has revealed about how to avoid a bad apple. So there are three aspects that I'm going to draw out today. The first is what I'm calling bad apples don't turn into good apples. The second is that bad apples are never all bad. And the third principle is that bad apples are generally lazy, jealous, or cheap. One of those three. So these are kind of signposts that we can look for in a sense when we're trying to discern whether someone who's seemingly very nice and seemingly has just the right CV is in fact perhaps kind of a bad apple. So to the first point, bad apples don't turn into good apples. Jim Collins described his book, Good to Great, as a lobotomy on change. And just to recap, he based his study on an extensive qualitative analysis of 11 companies that had been identified by his team as making the leap from good results to great results and had sustained those for 15 years. These companies managed to include stock returns of 6.9 times the general market across that 15-year period, and they were then compared to a selected control group of comparison companies after an analysis of over 1,400 companies had been made. So one of his key points of five in the outcome of the research was that the key point is that who questions come before what decisions, before vision, before strategy, before organization structure, before tactics. First who, then what, as a rigorous discipline consistently applied. And in the final section of his chapter about why who comes before what, he presents a rigorous stock take on the fact that if good people are leaving a company, it's because not good enough people are being kept in for too long. So I've been supporting an organization in the last few years who literally have experienced hundreds of staff and volunteers leave, who all cite that the reason is associated with one individual who has been a difficult presence in the structure of the organization. And, you know, this kind of scenario, it isn't that unusual. And so really, Jim Collins put this under the microscope and named it and called it out, that great companies never allow these scenarios to continue. The lesson in his research is that we must never think that we can manage the wrong person into becoming the right person, because you almost never can. Now, I kind of want to qualify this a little bit, because one of my mottos in life, as you would know, which has inspired this entire podcast, is that nobody in no situation is ever too far gone. You know, I believe there is nothing that we can't change in our hearts, in our minds, in our attitudes, in our mindset, if we are prepared to. So the defining difference really between a good apple and a bad apple is primarily the willingness and ability to do that. It's not about the person in their essence. It's not about the value or worth of a person, which is always infinitely great when we're talking about any human being. But when somebody is not prepared to do the work on themselves, or to do the work that's needed to really assess whether they're in the right role, whether the way they're going about their role is the best way, they can become a really toxic presence and you can end up just losing all of the right people. So the Good to Great study found that great companies hardly ever have to restructure or terminate positions. So here are some stats. In fact, 6 of the 11 Good to Great companies recorded 0 layoffs from 10 years before their breakthrough date, and 4 others reported only 1 or 2 layoffs. So great companies, they never go through these constant cycles of performance reviews, of reviewing the structure of the organization, then reporting it, and then having another restructure and laying off more staff. What these companies did differently was what Jim Collins termed being rigorous but not ruthless. So, in other words, the good to great leaders did not pursue an expedient, try a lot of people and we'll keep who works model of management. Instead, they adopted the following approach, and he writes this in his book. Let's take time to make rigorous A+ selections right up front. If we get it right, we'll do everything we can to try to keep that person on board for a long time. If we make a mistake, then we'll confront that fact so that we can get on with our work and they can get on with their lives. So it's not about being ruthless. It's not about making everyone's life painful and constantly sitting in a place of anxiety about whether they're going to keep their job. It's about being courageous enough to call out who you are, call out what you value, and have the tough conversations when the match isn't right. So that's the first point, is we don't try to turn bad apples into good apples. We don't try to change people. It's up to people if they want to change. But what we can be responsible for is sounding a clear note and being consistent in terms of what we value with who we keep in the room. The second point is that bad apples aren't all bad. So this is one of the most obvious, really, and yet most not so obvious, most overlooked pieces to the landscape of our relationship choices. I'm pretty sure that the evil queen in the story of Snow White probably had a really nice side. And she probably had her reasons in her story behind where she had developed this degree of insecurity, right? The worst people always have a good side. In fact, in my experience, some of the darkest people actually have sometimes the most attractive qualities, and they're very charismatic and appealing people to be around. So how do we tell a bad apple from just someone who has a lot of issues that they're working through, some pain in their lives, people that have come under a lot of pressure all at once? Sometimes that's us, right? How do we tell the difference? Well, Jim Collins draws out something in his book that is very rarely said, and I'm so grateful that he said it. It is true that we need to work with people who are different than us, who see the world differently to us, who challenge us and who have a different personality to us and possibly aren't the kind of people we want to spend our holidays with. But it's also true that you need to like the people that you work with. And Jim Collins just calls this out. To get the best people and keep them, you all basically need to love going to work. And that is always partly about the work itself and whether that's the right fit for you, but it is always at least half about the relationships. Long-term relationships that we form in our lives is the same in a workplace, whether it's paid work, whether it's volunteer work. These relationships can be amongst the greatest loves of our lives. And the idea that our relationships outside of work are always predominantly more important is both true and not true in terms of who gets first place. Of course, that's our families, but we spend a lot of time at work, and the relationships that we form in the work that we do can become, in fact, amongst the most important and critical in our lives. And so a good apple isn't someone who makes you or others feel bad about themselves and not want to be at work. They're not someone who has a negative impact 50% of the time, but then the rest of the time has these fun or very admirable qualities. That's not a good apple. A good apple is always respectful, even when you don't like what they're saying and even when you don't agree. A good apple is always kind, and a good apple always has your back, even when you're not on the same page. So good apples are consistent, and bad apples always have a good side, so never think they don't. The third point for today is that bad apples tend to be one of three things, or maybe all of these three things: lazy, jealous, or cheap. These are key signs that I've learned to look for. People who aren't in the role that they're in, whether it's paid role or a volunteer role, then if they're not in it for the purpose of the work that they're doing, but just for what they get out of it, it will consistently show up, not just here and there, not just occasionally, but it will be a consistent repeat pattern that this person shows signs of being either lazy, jealous, or cheap. In other words, if it's laziness, they just don't show up. They often call in sick, or maybe not sick, but they're just not putting in the level of effort that everyone else is putting in. They never go above and beyond the call of duty. They tend to be cruisers. Or they tend to be people who spend a lot of time gossiping or putting other people down. And that really is one of the most toxic things to a team: gossip. Or the third pattern that I've often observed is they just never put their money on the table, and they never put their hand in their pocket for anything. Everything's kind of split the bill, or even worse, there's an appearance of splitting the bill, but in fact, they never pay for anything. These are all what I would call tip of the iceberg signs of what, on a much deeper level, is happening in a person's soul, which for whatever reason is the inability to ever put another person ahead of themselves, to never consider another person's needs or elevate that above their own. So these, if they are consistent signs as opposed to one-offs, because we can all be gossipy, we can all be cheap, and we can all be jealous, and we can all be lazy from time to time. But if it's a consistent pattern, don't worry if this person ticks 10 other boxes, or for whatever other reason you think you need their skills and experience because you can't do it without them. There is a problem. And if your spirit is uneasy, if you don't feel peace in the relationship, there is most likely a reason. So as I bring this to a close today, and I know these matters can be hard to confront, I'm going to really give that space for you to reflect on your own experience with three questions about these three learnings about how we discern a good apple from a bad apple. So the first question is, are you waiting for a bad apple to turn good? How long have you been waiting, if you are? What might not waiting anymore look like? The second question is, are you in a relationship with someone who is amazing 50% of the time, but always leaves you with a lack of peace, a feeling of not being sure if they are really for you? The third and final question for this series: have you stepped into a business or a personal relationship with someone who regularly doesn't show up or often gossips and puts others down, or leaves you paying for everything. My advice? Get out. And do you want to know why? Someone who wants to spend lots of time with you, someone who will go the extra mile, someone who will financially invest and build others up and put others ahead of themselves is just waiting to take their spot.
The Academy of Systemic Renewal is based in Melbourne, and so we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.